Sego, I'm Dale Miller from CKRZ 100.3 FM News. Earlier this week, Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation held their first ever open house for the Tiny Homes Pilot Project on Six Nations. The Tiny Home Pilot Project was held at the Oneida Business Park from 2 to 6 p.m., where the community had a chance to see an on-site tiny home development. Two model homes are currently in development, a 480-square-foot one-bedroom model and a 960-square-foot three-bedroom model. The tiny homes are designed to be purchased and placed on the buyer's land. The Tiny Homes Pilot Project was introduced to provide an innovative solution to problems we face within the community. Through this project, Six Nations Grand River Development Corporation will offer affordable, safe, secure, and accessible housing to the Six Nations community. However, as refreshments were served, and as the community members exchanged ideas and concerns about the process and the sustainability of tiny homes within the community, a common question was asked both at the event and on social media, and that was, what was the wait time and process for a tiny home, as housing has been an ongoing issue on Six Nations? CKRZ spoke with Chief Mark Hill at the open house for the Tiny Homes Pilot Project.
We are here at the Six Nations Tiny Homes Project. This is an open house put on by the Six Nations Development Corporation. And this is really an exciting time because, as we all know, we've put out multiple surveys from the elected council to say, what are the top priorities in the community that we want to see change quick? And we've gotten back all those results, and every survey has reverted to the fact of housing. And we know that we're in a shortage and a housing crisis, and so we have to get creative in the solutions to start to get people homes and start to get in people's homes faster. And so this is behind us, you'll see, is examples of getting creative. So building these tiny homes, but putting a modern twist on them, as well as getting them the perfect amount of space and to have the ability, again, to be able to potentially have service lots. That's one of the opportunities that our council is looking at, is being able to, again, have, as we know, with a home, you need water, you need hydro, you need all the infrastructure involved. And so that's something where council is looking to offset some of those costs, but also to look getting creative in service lots that would be ready for sale for members who are ready to have home ownership. But also, we know that there's emergency housing. That's always been an issue. There's been many times in scenarios where community members have been in need, you know, whether it be loss of a home or whatever that may be, even our seniors. And so we need to come up with solutions as to where we put members when there's an emergency. And so we think that this is part of a solution to that as well.
Thank you for that. What are like some of the barriers that you can see for some of the homeowners who maybe have 5 or 6 acres who want to provide homes for their family, but that might be, you know, 3 to 4 generations in one household. So you're going to have multiple homes on one, maybe 1 acre of land. What are some of the things, the barriers that we're going to have to be concerned about, or maybe some of the hurdles that we're going to have to look at?
Yeah, and I think obviously it comes down to cost. So we need to look at finances. We need to look at the financial opportunities to see, you know, is this a best fit for a home with, say, 5 people in it? Probably not. But what is the next best to that, you know, to creating a solution? I also see some of the barriers being, we know that, again, land. There are some families that don't have any land, whereas there are some families that have a lot of land, right? And so we need to come up with, again, where is it within band-owned land that we could be able to start to, you know, to, again, get community members in homes quicker. And so that's something that I think is always, at the end of the day, I know the policies within our housing department also are a barrier, and that's something that the council has been examining and going through as an exercise to make amendments to those policies, because we know the policies that have been in place for 20 plus years, they're not working anymore. And so that's something that we're also going to be fixing.
Thank you for that. Also, another question that I had was, for some of the younger generation that are coming up, what are some of the things that they can do or keep in mind when they're thinking about saving for a home, when they're thinking about going to a bank and they're thinking about getting those loans or thinking about that three-year or five-year plan? What are some of the things that, as Indigenous people on Six Nations, we need to keep in mind when we're trying to think of these new outlets and new possibilities that are out there?
That's an amazing question. And I always tell, I like to share my experience of, you know, advising young people, you gotta have good credit. We have to have financial literacy so that young people, they need to start, like, you know, 12, 13, 14, tax-free savings accounts, Leo accounts, you know, any type of an account that can at least start them to get in the groove of what it means to save. But again, something that we have been working towards as well is getting young people ready for adulting. Because that's a big, and it's scary, right? And so for us, I would suggest, one, understanding financial literacy really is step one. Because, you know, the amount of, regardless of which, I know, you know, we always say on the territory, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. But, you know, when you leave the territory, you need credit. If you ever want to even say, I know some of our members choose to live off, they have to have a mortgage, right? They have to have good financial standings. And so I think that's a huge one for me, is really teaching our young people the importance of financial literacy and as well the importance of planning, right? We need to be able to, like, if we know that, you know, that a person wants to build a home on the territory, doesn't ever want to move off, then we need to start to get them in place to say, okay, where's the land? Do you have land? Does your family have land? All of those pieces, because I think, again, it's ultimately trying to set them all up for success. We have to give them the tools, all the right tools in order to be successful.
Yeah, that's so true, that as a community, we need to come together and just learn financial literacy. This is a pilot project for the Six Stations Grand River Dev Corp. Yep. What is the next steps going to be coming after this?
So that's a really good question. I think the Dev Corp might be more suitable to answer that, but I know it's really, they wanna be able to feel this out, to say, is the demand there? Is this an opportunity to get into the business side of things? While still meeting a social, making a social impact to the needs like housing. So again, I would suggest, in my, what I would like to see, and again, just speaking for myself, I would love to see this turn into a business model to where, you know, Dev Corp is a branch off of them. They're building these, they're shipping them out, they're getting them to service lots, they're getting them in community. But first and foremost, I think we need to deal with our community first before we get into any others.
That's very true. I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for everything you do for the Six Nations of community.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Dale.